You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm excited for 2025. I'm excited about the new year and all the potentials. But one of the things about New Year's is also keeping consistency. And one of my wonderful and recurring guests has, of course, been Bruce Pope, my mate in America. So, Bruce, Happy New Year and welcome back.
Well, Happy New Year, Simon. I hope everything, your New Year or your holidays were wonderful, and your New Year is going to be terrific. And all you Kiwis out there listening, good day from the USA is going to be my tagline.
I love it. Well, the great thing about New Zealand summers, Bruce, or our New Year's, is it's summer and we have very long holidays. I remember when you and I were in the States, and of course you're still there, the Christmas New Year breaks just literally a day or two, then everyone gets back to work, whereas here we sort of keep holidaying as long as we can, into February even.
Oh, to be a Kiwi. In America, you get a week. You get Christmas and New Year's, and then, you know, back to the oars.
Oh, we certainly have a lot of good Kiwi people here who do have to work through, but the majority, we all retreat to the beach. But of course, it's not about New Zealand at the moment. All the talk, all the news is about the United States of America and Trump 2.0. He's back. So look, share the impressions. Tell us what's been happening. We had the inauguration, of course, and his first days and exec orders. But just, well, tell us about the inauguration. It's a big deal.
Nothing ever happens in America, I tell you. It's never a dull moment. First of all, it is bone-chilling cold. Our temperature Fahrenheit right now is 16 degrees. Yesterday, which I did the math for you guys, that is minus 6 Celsius. Ooh. That's minus 6 degrees Celsius. So when it's that cold, and hundreds of thousands of people are expected to be out on, you know, to witness this historic event, they said it's too risky. Too many people are going to come down with medical problems. Let's just bring everything indoors. So that's what they did. And thank goodness they did. It was cold. So we've got an inauguration. It was a magnificent thing. It's Trump 2.0. He's making historical, the greatest historical comeback in probably all of history, definitely American history, except for, you know, we had Grover Cleveland back in the late 1800s who had a non-consecutive term, but Trump's in and he means business after so much difficulty, so different from 8 years ago.
Oh, it certainly feels it. You feel like it's not just, in his case, a political victory, but a real change of tide and even momentum. It strikes me, Bruce, that Trump's learnt, and his team has from last time, like they've hit the ground running. So you mentioned the inauguration, so inside the rotunda at Capitol Hill, I mean, just even who was there, all the tech giants from Meta and Apple and obviously Musk, who seems to be everywhere. But it was a big event, very few protests even. I mean, what a difference from 8 years ago.
Just remarkable. My jaw dropped. In 2017, there were riots in the streets, cars burning, women wearing obscene hats. Madonna had a feeling of burning down the White House. I mean, it was just the Trump derangement syndrome is what they got to call it. And then for the next 8 years, it was 91 indictments, 2 impeachments, 2 assassination attempts. They tried to get him with Russia and the collusion and the Steele documents. They tried spying on him. They've told lies. The incredible, anybody who has ever known him has been indicted for something. Even the Hunter Biden laptop came out turned out to be. It's absolutely true. And so Trump has overcome an amazing amount of things that no one, most human beings can't overcome. And so it was just dessert for him to stand in the rotunda with the power brokers that be, and just the feeling is different. People feel better. Anyway, I could go on and on and on.
Well, you can see it even in something like the stock market prices and so forth. There's a confidence, but I don't know. It's probably early days, but everything you've just described, is that going to affect Trump's way of handling things? It's not quite a megalomania, but you know, he survived so much. Is this going to give him an overconfidence in what he's doing, or do you think it's actually moderated him?
I like the old expression, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I know it sounds kind of silly. He came in, he was the only president when he was first elected to not come out of politics or the military. He came out of business, and no one has ever done that before, so he didn't exactly know exactly how Washington works, and it is a swamp. They will do everything they can to elevate you, and if they elevate you, they have the power to destroy you. And they did everything they could, and he was a babe in the woods. Now he's seasoned. It's almost providential that he was bookended with Biden being in the middle, and to see how bad things could be. And he's come through all the fire and hell. He's been anodized, I guess is a good word. I think this could be a very consequential presidency. I think back of in the 1860s here in America, we had Buchanan, who is arguably the worst president in the history of America, which caused a civil war, which caused, you know, brother against brother and horrible, you know, and then followed by one of the best. The very next election was Abraham Lincoln. Well, we just did Biden, who is arguably the worst, followed by to be determined with Trump. But I think it could be very consequential.
Oh, I think so. As a, what would you guys call us? An alien, a foreigner looking in. I think it will be very consequential. And I mean, I look at those the first day. I mean, literally, and he knows how to do theater, old Trump, doesn't he? You know, he has his inauguration. And then immediately in front of his supporters, he starts signing all these executive orders. And two things struck me, and we should actually delve into a few of them, but a whole pile of executive orders, which, again, shows his preparation.
200? But,
yeah. We won't go through all of them. We'd be here all day.
No.
But he was ready. That was the striking thing. And then while he was signing a whole pile of them in the White House, he's just doing an impromptu press conference, which Biden basically never did or couldn't do.
It would be impossible for Biden to do that. Just no way. It's not in the lexicon of possibilities. And I'm looking at, you know, you and I, we've been doing this for about 6 months and things, and several of our, I like to do my homework, and I'm looking at my notes back on 11/10, on November 10th, when Trump had just been elected, and he had his day one goals, and I'll list them, and that's exactly what he did on the first day. Deportations, close the border, which he did, completely closed. If you're arrested, you're gone. I mean, if you're a bad guy, which they've trying to blow it out of proportion. It's if you're a good law-abiding citizen, you shouldn't have a problem. But let's see, pardon the January 6th protesters that he did. All those folks, you know, they've been wallowing in prison for 3 years, 3.5 years. Let's see, dismantled the deep state. He did a hiring freeze. No one is going to be hired into the U.S. government until they figure out what's going on. Tariffs.
That's big.
He said that's coming on China and Mexico. Let's see.
We're nervous. I will say, Bruce, we're nervous about that one here in New Zealand because we're not exempt.
It's going to be painful. It's going to be painful. We have the Internal Revenue Service. Well, he's now implemented the External Revenue Service. And what that means is to go after countries who are cheating on their promises and obligations to all the various treaty organizations around the world. So, yeah, that could be painful to you guys. He wants to cut funds to schools that teach DEI, cancel all DEI. He did that. And drill, baby, drill. Our oil we're sitting on the biggest oil supply possibly on the planet. And he's gonna fill up the reserve, which was almost empty, to sell Russia, sell anybody on the planet, oil, which means money for us.
Which will be, I can see, is already very popular. And you and I were talking before we came online, too, that he's really wanting to focus on developing these huge data centers to help sort of fuel, for want of a better word, the artificial intelligence or AI. So you need the oil, you need the energy to run them.
Oh, these data centers. If you guys haven't heard of them, and most people haven't, the new thing on the horizon is artificial intelligence. And no, it's not Terminator kind of stuff where the monsters are going to, the machines will rise again or any of that. It's just more computer analysis for any industry that you could possibly think of. And all that analysis takes energy and massive amounts of energy. The more you use, the more you need. So what they're doing is they're setting up these data centers, these big there's faceless buildings with a whole bunch of machines inside.
and a whole lot of air conditioning to try and keep them cool. So, I mean, he's clearly, as you're saying, delivering his promises. I mean, what's the mood about the pardons? Not just obviously the January 6th, it actually went further than many people expected because he's pardoned some of the January 6th people who actually have other substantial criminal records. But what's the reaction to his pardoning the J6 or January 6th crew and Biden at the very last moment pardoning Fauci and his family? You know, what a way to say guilty without saying they're guilty.
Oh, Simon, I couldn't agree more. Biden has been just on a pardon frenzy. He's pardoned his, a preemptive pardon. He did it while Trump was giving his inaugural address. He preemptively pardoned Dr. Fauci and a number of folks who haven't even been indicted or incriminated in any way. It's bizarre.
Biden claims it's to protect them from Trump, but it also to me shows no confidence in the rule of law. If they've done something wrong, then surely they should be that should be tested in court.
Exactly. People have been. The left has been screaming for years, no one is above the law, even the president, da, 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 da. And, Hunter, all you have to do, you look back, it doesn't take much, Hunter, and then Biden pre-pardoned his brother and his family members. He's not a nice man. He really isn't. The pardon frenzy was just nuts. And then, Trump said on that what he was going to do with the January Sixers was pardon all them. But I'm dubious on that. There's pardoning in the commute the sentence. He pardoned everybody, and should have had a commuted sentence where, yeah, they assaulted police officers. They hurt people. They did bad things and should be punished. But I think they've been punished enough.
Yeah, I was surprised, I said earlier, just how far he went with those pardons. But, you know, he said he was going to do it. It was part of his campaign. I see, too, that he's... you mentioned the DEI, that diversity, equity, inclusion. He's given that a big kick, and he's come out and made it really clear. There are only two sexes, male and female. He's had enough of the gender critical theory. That's out the window, and he's supporting free speech. He's said there's no more government censorship. I mean, how's that going down?
Not well. A big one, we have what we call the 14th Amendment, which is birthright citizenship. If you're born in the United States, you're an American citizen. And that has been an issue with our huge immigration problem. You know, people are showing up in our borders pregnant and only to have a baby. And as soon as that baby's born in the United States, it's an American citizen. And what they've done is they've corrupted our 14th Amendment, which was based on the freed slaves, the freed African slaves that we had held under bondage for a couple of hundred years. And now they're using it as, what do they call it, anchor babies, where you got a baby born, oh, it's my baby. So mom gets to come, dad naturally comes, maybe sisters, brothers, uncles, cousins, aunts. Then you got yourself an issue. So what Trump wants to do is just get rid of that whole thing, and that's caused a huge number of lawsuits just today.
Contrary. No, that's all right. What about leaving the World Health Organization and Paris Climate Agreement? So, you know, here in New Zealand, people rend their garments and get all very, not everyone, there's a whole lot of people who see the likes of the WHO and other UN groups as completely corrupt. But, I mean, how's that going down with the American people? Are they happy?
Yeah, I don't think American people really know or care. They know that the National Health Organization lied to them with this whole COVID thing. I mean, you know, it was a bat. We all now know that. And what they told us to do and what they made us do and dictates and laws and the faith in our institutions has been decayed, I'll say that, greatly decayed. And so people don't care. World Health Organization, so what? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, again, it's just been a huge, huge amount of change. And he, again, via his executive orders, again, it just shows as probably one of the themes that we've been having is Trump's hit the ground running and is going to be incredibly consequential. But one thing I did want to ask you, and it's still in the foreign affairs space, is what's all this talk about Greenland and Panama, that he wants to take over or buy Greenland and Panama? What is going on there?
I love it. I mean, I think most Americans, well, it's ironic. You were talking about the inauguration with Trump and the whole thing in the rotunda. Well, only last week, Jimmy Carter, the former president Jimmy Carter, laid in state in that very room, in that very space. And Jimmy Carter, his legacy was that he gave away the Panama Canal as a kind of a goodwill gesture to Central America. And they have not handled it well. They've not run it very well. They're charging America exorbitant prices to get through. And finally, Trump in his inaugural said, we paid for it. We built it. We spent all our money making it. We spent 30,000 dead guys building it, and we're taking it back. To which Panama is going to, you know, scream and yell and not be happy. But because China has kind of taken over the controls, if you will, and we're not going to have that. So that's Panama. That's going to be a fun thing. Greenland. Greenland is a huge non-continental island in the middle of the North Atlantic that America sees as a geopolitical diamond for defense and the rare earth minerals that are all over the island. Unexplored, you have to go through a mile of ice to get to them. But Denmark owns it, and Denmark is Denmark. And they're saying initially no, but Trump's a negotiator. You make a bid, you bid high. Who knows? Maybe it's just given their independence and they become part of, the umbrella of America. Who knows?
I must say, from what I look at it, it's classic Trump to me. It's almost a distraction. He's talking about Greenland and everyone's running about going, what's this about? And then forgetting about everything else he's doing. Hey, but moving away, look, we've talked so much, understandably, about Trump and his inauguration, all the changes he's making. Look, and we could go on about what he's achieved, along, to be fair, with the Biden administration around the Gaza ceasefire, TikTok, and so forth. But we should probably turn to...
Oh, there's so much.
Oh, I know. We could be here for literally hours and you'll want to get some sleep. But just tell us some updates. It's a really sad situation around the LA fires. Things are much more under control now, but just what is happening there, or more the repercussions? Obviously they're putting the fires out, so they're pretty much contained, but what's going to happen next? I mean, there must be a myriad of questions.
There's going to be some questions asked. These fires in California, it is basic geology and just the way the contours of the California coastline are laid out. We get Santa Ana winds. They call it Santa Ana winds that come down over the hills. It's hot. They're hurricane force. They're 100 miles an hour, and they're hot. And they happen every year at this time. And you've heard of other fires in California. This year was tragic. Those fires came down and were sparked and burned down the Palisades. The Palisades is a site for million-dollar homes. Folks like Tom Hanks, Reese Witherspoon, Michael Keaton. You've heard of all these people. They don't have homes anymore. They've all been burned to the ground and at 1,000 degree temperatures. So there's nothing left.
It's apocalyptic. Looking at the images, just absolutely apocalyptic. You say there's nothing. It's just incredible.
There's not even a wall left. All you're getting is an occasional chimney, but I mean, it was horrible. It was hellish. Not just a fire, but an inferno. And it all could have been mitigated, not stopped, but mitigated, if the politicians in the left in California didn't want to, they were more concerned with a small fish. I forget what the heck the name it was. The reservoir, there's a huge reservoir holding millions, tens of millions of gallons of water that they had drained for just this purpose. It's built just for this, for the fires, but they drained it for because there was a rip in the seal or something. So that could have been mitigated. Meanwhile, the mayor goes to Africa for a grip and grin and photo opportunities, knowing it's the height of fire season. So it turned out to be a perfect storm.
Budget cuts and the money that was being spent by the officials and fire officials. I'm going to say firedom. That's not even a word. We're putting it again into DEI exercises and so forth. I mean, but this must be sinking Gavin Newsom's time. I mean, he's meant to be a presidential possibility for the Democrats.
Gavin Newsom, any political ideas that he to further on are gone. He is the governor, and he showed his true colors in knowing nothing and shifting blame and smiling and doublespeak, and everybody saw it. It was just awful, and people died, and it was just, I mean, you got it was the Palisades fire and the Eaton fire, which are just outside of Los Angeles, which caused the biggest ones. Then you have Hearst, the Lydia, the Kenneth, the Wings, it was just amazing. And it killed 27
people.
It'll
be a huge cost to rebuild.
They won't be able to rebuild because of all the regulations that they put in place now. You'd never be able to rebuild what they had. Not with current regulations.
So, sounds like New Zealand, more and more red tape. And as you say, was it 40, how many people died tragically?
27, confirmed dead. Several are still missing. People saw it coming, so, you get out of the way. It's hundreds of billions of dollars of damage and some of the most beautiful. I was up there 2 years ago. It's gorgeous, just gorgeous. And it's all burned to the ground. And elections have consequences, what I have to say. It's just, you voted for it, and this is what you got.
It is a tragedy and a terrible way to sort of start the year on that front. Hey, Bruce, we better wrap it up. I'm just so grateful for you giving a range of perspectives on a range of issues, and a great way for us to start the year. It is. Oh, look, we literally, as you know, could talk for hours.
I have no idea how you'll edit this interview. just such a pleasure to talk with you and to just let folks know what's going on. Yeah, just an American, just two guys chatting. We may as well have a beer between us.
That's right. You can have your Budweiser or whatever you guys drink there, and I'll have my Lion Red. Hey, lovely to talk to you, my friend.
Budweiser, you think it's too close to water.
That's true. That's right.
It's so great. Great to talk with you, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. And again, Happy New Year.
If you've been told to pull up your socks recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.